Let's go before the Lord and seek His aid this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to You today. We ask, Lord, that You would guide our thoughts and our words, Lord. I pray that we would gain wisdom from the light of Your Word, Lord. Your Word is truth, Lord. And so we pray that You would sanctify us by Your truth. And Lord, we ask that You would allow us, Lord, to be humble under Your Word. There's so many habits, patterns that we've developed over the years or that we've learned from those that raised us. Lord, I pray that we would remember that we are made new in Christ. And so pray, Father, that we would learn Your ways and that we would raise a godly next generation for Your namesake. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Right, so we're looking at parenting young adults, again, finishing off this week. And this morning, if you remember this graph that we've been talking about from time to time, where the left side is dependence on God, or excuse me, dependence on whether it's the rod or instruction. And then on the bottom axis is your child's maturity. So essentially, the more mature your child becomes, the less dependent you are on the rod, and the more dependent you are on instruction and righteousness. I think the Lord is good and wise, even in creating the world and creating humanity in this way, because oftentimes young parents don't have as much wisdom and biblical knowledge as an older person would have. Well, that's just the norm anyways. You should be gaining wisdom and biblical knowledge as you get older. So the norm is that, you know, a younger couple is just starting off on things, trying to figure it out, trying to just learn how to be married in and of itself, and just growing in their own understanding of God's word and righteousness and how to apply the word of God to life, which is wisdom. And so they don't have much of that starting off, so they're more dependent, thankfully, on the rod. But as you become less dependent on the rod over time, and along with the growing maturity of the child, you can overlay that with, hopefully, the growing maturity of the parents. So as a child grows in maturity, hopefully the parent grows in maturity. And as you grow in maturity, parents, you grow in your ability to instruct your child in righteousness. That's the goal. That's what daily times in the Word of God, that's what discipleship produces, that's what biblical counseling produces, that's what godly friendships produce, that's what the preached and taught Word of God every Sunday produces, that's what all the ministries, manhood, womanhood, community groups and everything in between. That's the whole point of all of this, is that you would grow in godliness and wisdom, that you would become more and more like Christ and be better parents as a result. So if you're a parent of a young child and you think, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? Just keep being faithful to growing in the Lord, and He'll prepare you for that over time. You just see. All right, so we are looking at second point this morning, 16 to 18 years old. We looked last week at 1 Timothy 4:12. I want to remind us of that verse this morning. It says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but show yourself as a model to those who believe in word, conduct, love, faith, and purity." And so essentially what we're going for here, the primary change on your notes is that they will have a growing and natural and good desire for freedom, as well as a relationship of adulthood. They're going to want to be married. They're going to want to date. They're going to want to have a significant other. Those feelings, those desires are good and right in and of themselves, so it may not be the right timing for them. Parents, you need to understand that, you know, if you're son wants to get married to a gal, your daughter wants to get married to a man, just be thankful that they're not having twisted desires and following the culture of the air, and wanting your daughter wanting to be with another woman or something like that. Just be thankful that they're having those right and appropriate desires, but hone those in and give them perspective on, are you ready for that? Here's all that is entailed with marriage. Let's prepare you for that then. Also, your heart, we looked at this last week, especially for mothers, the biggest difficulty in your heart, moms, will be faith. Remember that as your son or daughter that is around 16 to 18 years old, they are really getting ready and wanting sometimes to leave the nest. And hopefully by this point, by the age of 16, you're already letting that leash of control out for your child, that you're already giving them some space or some freedoms within safety, but giving them freedoms nonetheless to make their own decisions in good and safe ways. But you're giving them freedom to make their own decisions in some areas of life, and you're preparing them for that, and those decisions are going to become more consequential, more important decisions, and those freedoms are going to grow over time. That's natural, that's right, it's good. Tendency usually for moms is to not allow that to expand. If they're going to want to, you know, keep the child within their control, under mom's wing, and that's not healthy, especially for a young man. It's not healthy. For dads, it's usually if you're a girl dad, right? Yeah, if you're a girl dad, if you have a daughter, you know, oftentimes a daughter has a dad wrapped around her thumb, and it's very hard for that dad to even conceptualize his daughter going and being with a man in marriage and leaving the home. But dads, you need to prepare your heart and prepare your daughter for that time of life as well. So, and really what it comes down to is faith, all right? It comes down to faith. Remember, I mentioned, if you did your best to raise that child according to God's wisdom, you need to trust God's wisdom. That as long as you did it His way, or did your best at doing it His way, you can trust God's wisdom that what you have before you is an older child who is able to make his or her own decisions according to the Word of God and not ruin their life. But if you didn't do your job, then yeah, you'll be scared, of course. But let's keep going. See on your notes, I don't know if there's letters. See on your notes, training. You need to be training your child how to function as an adult in human society. Remember, you're not raising a child, you're raising an adult, right? On an assembly line, they're building a car, right? In a factory, in a car factory, that assembly line, the workers are not simply, building building an engine or building transmission. No, they're building a car. That's the goal. So at the end of your assembly line of parenting, you could say that's the intended goal, is raising an adult that can function well in human society. So what are some aspects, class? What are some aspects of adulthood, just regular, normal, day-to-day, month-to-month life? What are some areas of life, some spheres of life, responsibilities that you have as an adult that would be good for somebody to have? Yeah, the ability to just get up and go to work. Yeah, that's a discipline that needs to be trained. Organization is super important. You don't want it. I mean, it's very difficult to have a chaotic life. I don't know how some people do that. Yeah, Don?
Budgeting
your money. Yeah, budgeting your money. You don't want to be having a hole in your pockets, right? Yeah, in the back. Yeah, living according to Deuteronomy 6:7. What does that say, brother?
About raising your children.
Mm-hmm.
When you get up, when you lie down, put God first in your life, everything comes out after that.
Yeah.
If you're not there, then you're just living like the world.
Yeah, great, great. So, yeah, what I'm hearing is, just to live as a functioning member of society as an adult, not to forget that you're in God's world and all things are related to Him. He's first. And they need to understand that. Yeah, raising them with that perspective. Excellent. Any other thoughts? Time management. Yes. They need to be able to not let time get away from them, to have self-control over their time. Good. So things like this, handling money, handling time, their own body, their health, how to navigate relationships, friendships, commitments, that you're yes be yes and you're no be no. If you make a commitment, you follow through. You be a man or a woman of your word. Work was mentioned, friendships as well. All of this is, if I can wrap it up in one word, and one author does this, it's helpful. If we can wrap adulthood up in one word, it's responsibility. It's responsibility. So your child needs to become someone who is responsible and can handle responsibility with all of these things. Right? You have to be responsible for your money, responsible with your time, responsible for your own health, responsible for your friendships and relationships, responsible to follow through on commitments, responsible to go to work, and so on and so on. It's all responsibility. And so, how can we help our young ones be responsible? Yeah, give a model of being responsible yourself. The same. Yeah, all right. Yes, in the back. Yeah, warn them of the consequences. If you're not responsible in this, here's the results. Yeah. And sometimes not shielding them from those results, right? In the safe space, right? You could say. Yeah. What good is a warning if it doesn't ever happen, right? What good is a warning of if you're not responsible with your money, then you're not going to have any money to, you know, buy that thing that you really want. But then when they really bug you enough and really want it, and okay, I'll buy it. Well, then they don't learn responsibility, you see. What they learn is mom and dad will give me what I want if I bug them enough. That's what they learn. Not responsibility. Yeah, you had something, brother.
Just being consistent in training and the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, consistent training. Good. Yeah. Just practically give them responsibilities. Hand over responsibilities. It's going to be small things at first. Responsibility with your room. Then responsibility with your time. Okay, you have a Saturday that's free, and this is your Saturday. Here's the list of chores that are left undone. You know, don't forget there's homework to be done over the weekend. This Saturday is your responsibility. You plan out your day, and then if they're up late on a Saturday night and they're irresponsible, don't save them by saying, oh, he's tired, she's tired. Let's just not go to equipping hour this morning. Let's not go to church. You're teaching them the opposite of responsibility at that point. Yes?
You're a Puritan buff.
Ooh, that's a great question. The question is, how did the Puritans raise their children? The main model that you see for Puritans is, that was before, no, not before public schooling, but there was a mix on that. The main Puritan discipline for parenting was family worship. That was the primary thing. Getting the family together, opening the word, praying, singing, making that a consistent pattern of the home life. That was absolute top. So, good question. When it comes to training, give them responsibility and then hold your teen accountable for how they live their own life. As a matter of fact, teenage years and young adulthood are the training grounds for a lifetime of taking responsibility. This is where they're going to be trained for a lifetime of responsibility. So, if you know someone who is an adult and irresponsible, they weren't adequately trained in it. They didn't learn that during the time of life that they should have. And it's very difficult to learn those things later on, but it's possible by God's grace, of course. The next point here, discipline. Discipline. So we're talking about a 16 to 18-year-old young man, young woman. We've already established that physical discipline is incredibly rare, if at all present. We've mentioned this before, but even more so now in this phase of life, your child needs to feel the pain of bad decisions. So they may not feel the pain of a physical discipline, but they need to feel the pain of their bad decisions. So stop saving your child from that. And this is a recurring theme, but there's a reason why. The pain of immaturity will help. Excuse me. The pain of immaturity will help your child think twice next time. That pain of their own immaturity, irresponsibility, will help your child think twice next time. All right? So trust the process. Trust the process. Next on your notes, relationships. Relationships as a 16 to 18-year-old. What's going to be the forefront of relationships in this age range? What do you guys think? Relationships. What kind of relationship? Yeah, girlfriend, boyfriend. That's going to be top of the list. You go to a youth Bible camp or whatever you want to call it. Go to a youth retreat away. And if they have a Q&A time, a question and answer time, guaranteed you will get a handful of questions about dating. Year after year after year. I've seen it firsthand. And it's funny how creative the young ones will get and how many excuses and caveats and, well, but what if it's this, what if it's that, and just all kinds of reasoning for why they should start dating. And that's natural. So don't be shocked, parents, when this comes up. In fact, you want to have an ongoing conversation about these things before it comes upon you. You don't want to react to this. You want to be proactive and talk about boyfriends and girlfriends before they have a boyfriend or girlfriend. We have a youth ministry in our church called Regen, and we just started. But last year was our first year, and we had our youth ministry on around the time of Valentine's, and so we took 1 week to teach on dating, and so we're giving biblical principles for dating. What is that? What is and really, it starts with what is marriage? I should have brought it. If I can suggest a book for specifically for the young person that is thinking about dating, parents, you want to go through this book with your child. You want to go through, it's called Not Yet Married, and the author escapes me. Maybe somebody can look it up. Yeah, something like that. It's called Not Yet Married. You punch it into Amazon, it'll come up, or Google, or whatever. Not Yet Married is very helpful. The whole first half of the book talks about where you need to be spiritually and maturity-wise before you even start dating. And then the second half of the book is, okay, now that you feel like or think that you're ready, what are some principles to have settled before you even start dating someone? Somebody have it in the back? Marshall Segal?
Yep.
All right, thank you, brother. So it is Not Yet Married by Marshall Segal. Very good book, very helpful. I believe he is with John Piper's ministry, if memory serves me right. So you want to work through those things. This isn't a lesson on dating, so I'm not going to, it's a whole can of worms. The opinions are everywhere. But in that book, and I would agree with him, my advice is, I can't give law on this, but my advice, based on Marshall Segal's wisdom, his experience, as well as my own, having worked in both children's teenage years and college ministry for some years, my advice is that no one has any business dating if they are not willing to be married in 1.5 years. If you're not willing to be married in 1.5 years, don't even start. You got no business. So if they're 16, it's not wise. They're 17, you better have a plan. Right? If you're 18, well, you better have a plan still. But there's a lot more that goes into that. Godliness, maturity. You don't need to be a full-blown Puritan saint in order to get married. But you do need to show, well, responsibility for your own soul, for your life, for the different areas of being an adult. You need to exemplify and prove a level of responsibility and maturity if you want to start dating. And again, if you are not willing to be married in 1.5 years, you got no business starting. Because once you get on that train, right, that train, the momentum takes over at a certain point in the relationship. Parents, you have the right to say no. All right? You have every right to tell your child no. As long as you're under my roof, the answer is no. Now, do we remember, this goes way back, maybe a month or so. Do we remember, is it okay just to say no and for the answer to be no because I said so? Is that enough? No, it's not enough. In some cases, it can be, right? I mean, when it really comes down to it as an adult, yeah, as a parent, yeah, I have every right to say no. But what's the caveat to that? What's the?
Well, especially if they're wanting to date somebody who's not a believer, right?
Right.
You know, so that's when you should say no.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Especially when it comes to dating. If they're trying to date an unbeliever, that's an absolute no, of course. But just as a principle in general, not just with dating, but if you say no and your child says why, what should... should you give them an answer?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they understand it, then they're going to think about it and possibly agree with you.
Yeah, yeah, if, yeah, hopefully, possibly. I like that. Yeah, if you explain to them your reason for no, then they might come to agree with you. Yeah, very helpful. Yeah, so you... I believe I said before in this series, you're not obligated to defend your position to your child, but you need a reason for your position. You need a reason for the no. Yes, in the back.
You're going to get it. Guess what happened? At 25, my son came up to me and said, Dad, you're right. My daughter came up to me and said, Dad, you're right. I didn't want her to just be right.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you bring up a good point, brother. Just as you're old, we're older, but just by the nature of how that works, right? You're older than your child. You have more experience in life. Probably made some mistakes that you're trying to save them from. And so it's just, you know, like I'm trying to help you out here. I'm trying to let you learn from my mistakes. I've had some time under my belt here, so please listen to me. And sometimes they don't want to listen to you, and time will bear that out. And that goes back to what we were talking about before. Sometimes you can't just rescue them from their foolish decisions. Yeah.
I hear somebody saying, you become a two with dad and son. Once you become a pair yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, that's right. You get some perspective once you become a parent. Mm-hmm.
You don't want to wait until 25, but sometimes
it happens. Yep, sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. Good. Let's keep going. Last one, I think, on this point, spiritual development. Spiritual development. If they do profess faith, praise God. If your child professes faith, is your job done? I mean, because that's the goal, right? Is, I want to bring my child to the Lord. And man, my child is a believer, baptized. My job's done, right? What would you say to that? you just laugh, right? yeah, you just laugh and chuckle at it. No, of course not. You're not done. In many ways, you're just getting started, right? Okay, now let's build on the rock, right? That is Christ. So if they profess faith, praise the Lord, but you need to hold them accountable to act like a Christian then at that point. They should be practicing the one another's of the New Testament in the home. A good book. Thankful I can finally suggest this. Such a good book. Your Family, God's Way. So this is kind of where I'm getting the title of this series, Parenting God's Way. But this is by Wayne Mack, biblical counselor. And it's Your Family, God's Way. Incredibly, incredibly helpful to have this in your brain as you're going through the teen years with your child. This book goes beyond just, okay, dad's a dad, mom's a mom. Children, obey your parents. It goes way beyond that to, okay, how do we function and work together as a bunch of sinners in the same household? How does that work? And so Wayne Mack helpfully goes through those things. He spends a few chapters laying the groundwork, right? The groundwork for God-honoring family relationships. First thing is first, husband and father, right? The maximum husband and father, so he charges the men to fulfill their role, and then the wives in chapter 2, and then the relationship between parents and children in chapter 3. But then the rest of the book is, the second part is developing God-honoring family relationships. And so it's really a book on communication. It's really what it is. Just give you some insight into what he's talking about here. Chapter 4 is called, I Heard What You Didn't Say. Chapter 5, How to Hear What's Not Being Said. Chapter 6, small talk, the silent menace. Chapter 7, enough is enough and too much is too much. Chapter 8, circuit jammers to family communication. Chapter 9, to tell the truth. Chapter 10, now you're really talking. And chapter 11, getting your ears on. Then part 3 gets into, okay, as you talk, there's going to be conflict. The last three chapters help coach you and train you on how to resolve family conflict. And so I cannot recommend this highly enough, especially if you are, if you're a parent of a 13-plus year old, you need to read this book. You absolutely need to read this book, because this is going to give you the skills of parenting, but also just the skills of life. You need to have this communication book under your belt. Super helpful. What brought that on is that if your child is a professing believer, you need to help him or her develop what it looks like to practice the one another's of the New Testament. What are some other, what are some of the one another's? So love one another, right? What are some of the other commands regarding how we are to relate to one another in the New Testament? Those phrases, blank one another. Pray for one another. You can blurt them out.
Serve.
Serve one another. Yeah.
Encourage.
Encourage one another.
Forgive.
Forgive one another.
Be
hospitable to one another. Yeah. You see, all of these things, that would be so helpful if your child is able to do these things in the home. Right? That would produce so much harmony, right? If you can encourage and be at peace with one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, admonish, correct one another, help one another, serve one another. The list goes on and on and on. I would encourage you, go do a search on the one another's and let that maybe guide your parenting and what you're trying to produce. Especially if your child is a professing believer, have those one another's handy and say, hey, you say you're a Christian and you're not practicing this one another here. What's going on, right? Good. If your child isn't saved, then don't give up, parents. You must be giving your child the gospel at this point with a sense of urgency, pleading with them to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. But that doesn't mean, I mean, just because you are giving them the gospel and they're not a believer at that point doesn't mean you don't hold them to the standards of the Word of God. Right? That's not an excuse for them. Well, they're not a believer, so, you know, how can I demand that they obey me? You know, doesn't it say children obey your parents in the Lord? Well, yeah, it does say that, but it doesn't mean that if they're not a believer that they don't obey their parents. That's silly. So, no, just because they're not a believer doesn't mean that you don't hold them to the standards of Scripture, right? The commands of Scripture are still good, right, and true. And so you still need to hold them to that, especially when you understand that what he or she will be when they're older will greatly depend on what they are now. What they will be when they're older greatly depends on what they are now. So you're trying to change them. You really are. You're trying to change your child by the Word of God. All right. This is the time to demand more of your child than ever before. You need to raise your expectations of what it means to be a teenager. Don't let the society dictate what a teenager looks like or is. That's why our society is so messed up. It's because, I would argue, the church has bought into the lie of teenage irresponsibility. It's not a, the teenage years are not the years for a teenager to be irresponsible and get that out of their system. Nope. These are the years for your teenager to learn responsibility and develop it before they become an adult. All right. Third, we're here. 18 and plus. 18 and older. If you have a child that is 18 years and older, guess what? You don't have a child. You have an adult. But they're always going to be your child, right? So I understand that. So when I say a child, I mean your child. They're not actually a child. They are an adult. But yes, they can be an adult and your child, your son, your daughter, of course. I want to make sure and get through this. I talked about this first point, guys versus gals, the difference between an adult man that's 18 years old and an adult woman who is 18 years old. There is a difference between those two things. So an 18-year-old guy is different from an 18-year-old gal that you have raised. What's the difference? A, on your notes, guys versus gals. Fathers are the default protection over the women within their household. We see this, for example, in Genesis 2. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So, who is the one who leaves the protective realm of father and mother? The man. Does the wife ever leave the protective realm of father and mother in this verse? No, you don't see that. So the norm is that the adult woman is still under the protective realm of her father and mother. And that will look different from family to family, but nonetheless, that is a responsibility, right? What that looks like for you could be different from one family to the next, but the reality of this doesn't change, whether they're living in your home or not. There is a responsibility, especially as a father, to protect and watch over the safety and well-being of your daughter until she's married. Once she's married, once the woman is married, who is she protected by then? The husband. Yeah, the man. So the man leaves that protective realm, goes and finds his wife, as it were. And this is a good principle for dating, by the way. The man should be the initiator. And so if you're a young man, you need to man up and leave that safe space and go and make yourself vulnerable. That's part of this, is just, you just got to put yourself out there as a guy. And you are making yourself vulnerable to rejection by another gal, right? Let alone other things. That's the principle being carried out. All right. So the father is the default protection over women in their household. We see this in this passage. One commentator says the young female lived under her father's watch, care, and authority until she married, which was usually in the late teenage years, at which time her husband would assume that responsibility. Right? This is implied here. It's a lot more explicit in Numbers chapter 30. We looked at this when I preached on Father's Day a few months ago. So this will be familiar. I don't want to belabor this point. You can go back to that lesson or that sermon and get more detail there. But Numbers 30, verses 3 through 5, and then we'll jump to 16. It says, "Also, if a woman makes a vow to Yahweh and binds herself by an obligation in her father's house in her youth. So you have here a woman who is a responsible adult, but she is in her father's house in her youth. She's not yet married. That's what it's saying. And her father, so she makes a vow, but then verse 4, her father hears her vow and her obligation by which she has bound herself, and her father says nothing to her. So the father knows about it, but says nothing. Then all of her vows will stand, and every obligation by which she has bound herself shall stand. Right? So she's made an obligation, she's made a vow, she's obligated to fulfill that vow. Verse 5, but scenario 2 is if her father hears about that vow and then should forbid her on the day that he hears of it, then none of her vows or her obligations by which she has bound herself shall stand. She's free from those. The father has vetoing rights, you could say. And Yahweh will pardon her because her father has forbidden her. So this is in the context of Old Testament religious system. This is under the context of the Old Covenant. The principles that are taught here shall stand. Let's jump to 16. These are the statutes which Yahweh commanded Moses as between a man and his wife. It's because he said the same thing for his wife earlier in the passage. And as between a father and his daughter, while she is in her youth in her father's house, while she's still unmarried. All right, so there is a responsibility here, right, guys? The male head of the household is given the ability to cancel or void a religious vow of his daughter who still lives in his house. This is meant to protect the daughter, as well as the wife here we see. To protect the daughter from making promises that she is unable to fulfill. So maybe, for example, the daughter in this context would be filled with zeal for the Lord and make this huge commitment to the Lord, but the father knows she is not able to fulfill that commitment, but the Lord is a just God and he would hold her accountable, and if she can't fulfill that vow to the Lord, then she would be punished. And so the father knows that, and in order to protect her from that punishment, vetoes her vow. And so she doesn't have to suffer the consequences. Man, I just got to go through these notes, all right? So what we see here is God's very wise balance between an adult daughter's freedom and a father's responsibility to protect. Remember in the passage, the adult daughter is able to make her own vows. And her father overhears it, right? So there is a sense in which she makes these commitments and decisions on her own as an adult, right? So there is that freedom and that autonomy in some sense for the adult daughter. However, even that is still under the watchful protection, not control, not domineering, you know, I just don't like what you're doing. But it needs to be motivated by protection. There is a responsibility of protection of the father over her decisions. So if the father knows that this is not going to end well, and here's why, then he has the right to step in and forcefully say, like, I don't want you to do this. You need to listen to me. Now, of course, a father now in this day and age can't control an adult daughter, right? She can move out and do whatever she wants at that point. But that would be the cost is, if you don't want my protection, then what are we doing here? Why are you under my roof? The whole point is to protect you. And so you need to have those conversations. There is freedom granted to the young woman, a freedom to make her own vows, plans, decisions, yet that freedom is still under the watchful protection, I protective eye of the Father who is given to protect her from any harm, even self-inflicted harm. God's word honors women like wives and daughters here as precious gifts that must be protected and treated as precious. That's why this is here. It isn't control. It's protection. It's protecting this precious gift of a wife or a daughter from harm. That needs to be the mindset of a father. All right. Let's keep going. We've got 5 minutes, so I'm just going to plow through these for us this morning. Be on your notes. Primary changes of adulthood for your child is, well, he or she is an adult. There's just nothing, no other way to say it. A book recommendation, You Never Stop Being a Parent. Very helpful book by Neuheiser and Elise Fitzpatrick. You Never Stop Being a Parent. Very helpful book. And guides you through that, all the heart challenges and practical challenges of that age range, of that change of season. So they are an adult like you, however, you never stop being a parent, right? And they never stop being your child. Children are always required to honor their parents, though there is a point where the command to obey them expires. They are always to honor their parents, though. This honor will manifest itself in age-appropriate ways throughout different stages of life. All right? So they're always required to honor you, but that's going to look different from year to year, decade to decade. All right? And so you need to be clear and communicate with your child. If honor for you, and if, let's say they're married and they have their own family, but honor to you looks like you call them, they call you once a week or they visit you this often, you need to have clear expectations as a parent. And don't use guilt to manipulate. All right. Your heart, see on your notes. Your heart, the biggest challenge, the biggest need for your heart with an adult child is humility, parents. Humility. You need to come to the realization that their relationship with you is just different. And so you need to allow them to disagree with you while still at the same time expecting them to honor you. They can disagree with you, but they still got to honor you. Make that clear. With humility and with grace. All right. D on your notes, training. Where you once used to give commands, this is probably one of the hardest transitions for a parent that has an adult child, where you used to once give commands to your child and they have to obey, now you're giving advice for them to heed. So from commands to obey to advice to heed. That's your role. That's your role as a parent now. You're a trusted advisor. I think that comes from this book. Very helpful. You're a trusted advisor. So hopefully you've built trust and rapport. You haven't ruined your relationship with your child, Lord willing, and they trust you enough to ask you for advice or to take your advice when you give it. If your child is still living under your roof, to promote treating your child like an adult, I would suggest that the adult and child enter into agreement. That you would have a family or home contract. I sent this out to the church back when I preached on this for fathers, on Father's Day. If you would like a copy of that, like of a template, come to me and I can email that to you. All right? But it's very helpful. A family contract. There's some examples of that in this book as well. So if you want to just get the book and glean from their wisdom, you can do that. But this will help promote that adulthood responsibility in your adult child. Because if they were to move out, they would have to do that anyways for whoever they're renting from, right? So just treat them like an adult then. You can either do that there or do that here, right? It's a contract with them or a contract with me. And trust me, I'll be more gracious than them. So that's how you're going to train them in those early adulthood years. Discipline. You don't need, again, this is a recurring theme today, you don't need to rescue your child all the time. They need to feel the sting of their irresponsibility and their immaturity. But this is the time of, this is the phase of life where you can be that kind safety net to your adult child. As long as they're not married, right? And they got to figure it out on their own in some regards when they're married and outside of your home. But if you have an adult child who is not yet married, especially in those years, especially for a daughter, how kind and sweet it would be for them to know that they can always count on you to be a kind of safety net of life. Remember, parents, don't provoke your child. That still holds true. If you want them to honor you, as it says in Ephesians 6, you need to also do your end of the bargain in Ephesians 6 and not provoke your child, even if they're an adult child. Failure to heed God's warning to not provoke your child to anger in Ephesians 6, 4 will almost certainly result in your adult child seeking freedom at any cost from the oppression of an unreasonable parent. So if you are holding on too tightly, if you are too controlling, if you are just unreasonable as a parent, not treating them fully as an adult, then don't be surprised that they compromise on the man or woman that they pursue and just accelerate that relationship and just try and get out of your house as soon as possible. You don't want that to be their goal. I just need to get out. And how sad a relationship that would be. That would put a strain on your future relationship, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to spoil it. All right, F on your notes, relationships. This is probably the greatest area of testing for the young adult. I've seen so many young adults reach this age and vanish out of church into the arms of an unbeliever that they have started dating. So parents, you need to pray for your child. You need to warn them. You need to love them. Lastly, spiritual development. Just be a source of encouragement and wisdom to your adult child. Be a source of encouragement and wisdom. Don't let the only time that you speak to your adult child, or any child of any age, but especially here, don't let the only time that you speak to them be when you point out something that they're doing wrong. You need to make it a regular habit of encouraging them. And don't be afraid to give biblical advice with some conviction. You can't command them to do things, but you can be that trusted advisor, and you can have conviction, like, I really believe this is true, and I'm telling you that it's not going to go well if you don't listen to this, or I'm telling you this is the right thing to do. And you can stand on that conviction, but fall short of commanding and ordering them around. All right, one last verse as we close our time. Proverbs 4, 1 through 4. Remember, these are the Proverbs of Solomon. Speaking here in the first person, speaking from experience. Solomon says, "Hear, O sons." So he's speaking to his sons and the sons of the nation. "Hear, O sons, the discipline of a father." So he's speaking as a dad to his son, to his children. "Pay attention that you may know understanding. For I give you sound learning, and do not forsake my instruction." And then look at this next verse. This is Solomon as a grown adult with children of his own. And he remembers back when I was a son. to my Father. Tender and the only son before my Father. So his mind is able to recall back how his father raised him and the lessons that he learned. Then he instructed me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Oh, parents, you don't know what's going to stick with your child. You need to be a source of instruction and wisdom and biblical truth. You don't know what's going to stick. You want the Word of God. You want His truth, His wisdom to stick. So keep on speaking. And Lord willing, when they're an adult, they can be like Solomon and say to their own children, man, I remember what my dad, my mom said to me when I was young. I'm just going to tell you the same thing. What a wonderful legacy that is. Amen? All right, let me pray and then we'll end our time. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your Word. Thank you for your